Good morning, everyone. Good morning, and a happy new year. Welcome to our worship at Wilmslow Methodist Church this morning. Welcome to anyone who's visiting or here for the first time. We'll have refreshments served in the lounge after the service. Do join us. And we welcome and greet all those who will be listening to the recording of this service and our friends from Carr's Court. So this morning, a special welcome to Malcolm Gunn to lead our worship, who's stepped in at late notice. We very much appreciate that, Malcolm. And just to check, strangely, no notices. This must be a unique experience. So all I would say is, before Malcolm takes over, the choir will be singing an introit, Carol of the Epiphany.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a joy to be here to share worship with you today. As we start, let's come before God in prayer. Our feet are following the trails of the camel's hooves, our eyes fixed on the star. Let us journey with the Magi to the manger. We gather around the Christ child as they did, laying before Jesus the treasures of our hearts. Amen. And let's sing. As I've done this at short notice, hopefully all the numbers and the hymns are right. But it should be 193, Born in the Night.
Come in, need there is joy.
So I don't know about you, but in our house, we're done. Jesus is back in the loft. And our Christmas is over. But lots of things happened at Christmas, and we hear the Christmas story. And I wondered, who travelled anywhere this Christmas? Let's see. How far? Anybody travel more than 20 miles? Cool. 300 miles. They're about, one way, I'll have to go one way. And doesn't include trips while you were there. 300. Where did you guys go? Cool. Whereabouts? Sicily. Oh, brilliant. So, lots of people travelled. Did we go and see family? Did we just go for a break? We saw family. You didn't have to travel. Sometimes people come to you, don't they? Sometimes people stay longer than you expect. And sometimes, like Mary and Joseph, unexpected people turn up. Anybody meet anyone for the first time? Any family meet a child for the first time? Yeah? And you... some. You met your 20-month-old, your daughter's niece. Brilliant. And who got presents? Who took presents? What's it like giving a present? Have we got a roving mic so people can speak, or shall I just use this? Oh, cool. Hey, right. Presents, where was it? Presents, yes. Who likes giving presents? That's good. What is it about giving presents that's so special? Oh, I'll come back down to you.
Is it because God, it's God's favour, Jesus, to the world? Jesus was God's present to the world?
You've gone a lot further than I was going at this point, but yes, absolutely, and we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at that gift that was given. Sorry.
Hey. I like giving presents because then you can see someone's smile on their face.
Yeah. What about receiving presents? These are presents you wanted or liked.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a nice surprise.
It is. Sometimes you get things you didn't expect. And as we've just had Christmas, I guess we've done the nativity. So I'm pretty sure that Mary and Joseph weren't expecting the gifts that they got at Christmas. No. But we're going to be looking at that later. Because journeys and that giving of gifts is really important. It was God's gift to the world. But it makes people happy. It makes people smile to give gifts. And sometimes you get unexpected surprises in the gifts. And sometimes when we go and we give the gifts, or we go on the journey, it's things are unexpected. Different things happen. Things we didn't expect. So we'll have a look at all those things later as we look at the journey of the Magi to meet Jesus, to meet with Mary and Joseph. But as we do, we'll sing again number 216, See Him Lying. That's lovely and upbeat and exciting. Now, do we go to Young Church or now? Yes? Right. Before we go our different ways, let's pray. Lord, we really give thanks for the chance to come together today to worship you, to learn more about you and your Son, Jesus Christ. And as different parts of our church family go and learn in different ways, we look forward to coming back together and sharing what we've learnt with each other. We go now to enjoy being in your presence. Amen. There's part of me that always wants to go because it always seems more interesting and mysterious going out and doing something different. But I have to stay. Let's come and give God our prayers of thanksgiving. Father, we thank you not for simply making us, but for giving us life. For the sheer joy of being alive. For the pleasure of real friendship, for the opportunity to enjoy your wonderful creation. We praise you that you have made us and that we can find renewal and satisfaction and a sense of completeness, not only in the world around us, but also in the love with which you have filled our lives. We thank you not only for making us, but for making us a special people. You have done this not because we are worthy, but because we must bear a special responsibility. Thank you for giving us a world to care for other people whose needs are our opportunities to show your love and kindness, for helping us to see even in the hard times and the times of difficulty that you walk with us. We praise you for the faith which you have filled our lives, for the growing certainty that you will never fail us, and that peace, love and mercy are the things that really matter. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we are made a special people. Amen. Let's sing, it's number 204, In the Bleak Midwinter.
Thank you.
We confess that the Christ child does not challenge us. We are sentimental about the story. We bask in the afterglow of Christmas. Yet men, mighty in wisdom and power, were challenged to journey across strange lands to seek you out. We confess that we find it difficult to move beyond our own comfort zones in search of you. We don't like to break the boundaries of our assumed security. We struggle to find you in situations that we are not comfortable with. We confess there are times when we see you in situations and turn away. There are times when we know the action to take and stop. Forgive us, Lord, and may this child challenge us afresh today and every day. Amen. It's time for our reading, and it's probably a reading we all know. We hear it many times, and we see it enacted out many times over Christmas. But as we listen to the words, just wonder what they might be saying to us. And then we'll have a look at the story and see what it can tell us today. Let's listen to the reading from Matthew chapter 2.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." And when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. So from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them that the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you. Well, we do hear that story and we see it acted out. The wise men the Magi, kings, get called a number of things. And sometimes in church we can get bogged down in who they were and where they came from and how many of them, and were they there with the shepherds at the same time? We start nitpicking at the story, which is really sad, because that doesn't help anybody. Those who have not got a faith, it turns them away from church. And for those of us with faith, it distracts us from the story. It is kind of cute and it is kind of nice, but it's a powerful story. It's a story of people searching for Jesus. It's a story of inclusion. And if we're not careful, we just treat it as a little sentimental story of some men riding on camels bringing rather strange gifts to a child. It's a popular story. I mean, in the Nativity, if you're not Mary or Joseph, wise man, king, that's kind of a good role to get. It's up there at the top. But sometimes there's more lurking in the background of these stories. In some ways, it's sad that we only ever look at this once a year. And at the back end of Christmas, when everyone's thoughts have moved away and onto the next thing. There's already Valentine's Day adverts in the shops, and there's already Easter eggs. So, you know, things move fast. But we should hang on to the story of Christmas. We should hang on to this story. It's about a journey taken in faith and started in trust. It is a journey of outsiders seeing a light, seeing something, knowing something special is going to happen, and desperately wanting to be part of it. Perhaps there's something of people's own Christian journey in that. When we start looking for Jesus, sometimes we see a light, something different in somebody or some place, and start to wonder what it is, and we start to follow that path, and we search and we hunt and we want to know more, and we find out why those people are different, why that light is shining out from them. But this is also a journey of imperfect people. We call them wise men. They're not that smart, are they? They managed to get lost. They weren't perfect. They were just like everybody else. They made mistakes. And like so many of the people that we meet in the Bible, they're ordinary. They get things wrong, they get excited. But they are ordinary people, desperately searching out the new king. And yes, they got lost. Well, they got distracted. They went somewhere where they thought they should go, not where God was leading them. And that's the thing with journeys. Sometimes they take strange twists. We end up going places we didn't expect, doing things we didn't want to do or expect to do. But sometimes we have to go on those strange routes to become what we're supposed to be. Now, my Bible has had a very unusual route to get here today. This Bible was picked out by somebody. It was picked out especially to be given as a gift at a wedding. But unfortunately, they wrote the wrong date in it, and they embossed the wrong date on the front. And so it was cast aside. Cast aside at the bookshop in the back. And it got a little bit of water damage. And there is the odd page that's got a nibble out of it. And its future was uncertain. Until a foolish traveller, you get the link, a long way from home, who'd forgotten his Bible, walked into the bookshop and asked, "Have you got any cheap Bibles?" But the owner said, "Well, I've got this one in the back if you want it." I'm not sure they realised what a precious gift they'd given. And I keep this Bible and I use it because it reminds me of the strange and different routes I've been on as I search for Jesus. This Bible now can be exactly what it was designed to do. It's special. It's got its own story. Each of us have our own story. Bit like my Bible, bit like the wise men, that journey that we go on, sometimes we almost get there. And then we get diverted. Perhaps because we think we know what the next step should be. The wise men followed the light, but at some point, something went off in their head and they thought, "We know where to go." They thought they knew best. There's something about that that resonates with me. I don't know whether it resonates with you, but it resonates with me in my Christian journey. I follow, and then I know where this is going, only to find out I've gone to the wrong place. We don't know what diverted the wise men. Maybe excitement got the better of them. They were going to meet a king. They knew something special was happening, so they went where they expected it to go. They stopped focusing on the star, as we can sometimes stop focusing on Jesus and what we are called to do. But, at the end of that reading, these men who'd got it wrong, followed their own path, hadn't followed the path that was there guided for them, at the end of the reading, they learned something really important. When God speaks to them a second time, when God tells them to go back by a different route, they do exactly what has been asked of them. Boy, they've learned something quickly. And it took me years, and sometimes I have to go back and relearn it. They learned that when God calls, no matter how strange the request might sound, we follow. But back to the Magi. Yes, they got it wrong. And in getting it wrong, they cause chaos and mayhem for people in the future. But once they'd realized they'd got it wrong, they looked for the star, and there it was. waiting. As it always had been, waiting patiently to guide them to where they needed to go. Much as Jesus waits to greet us when we turn back to him. We might take many wrong turns, but when we turn back to Jesus, he is waiting patiently for us with open arms. It's like if you're a parent and you see your child taking a wrong turning, or a close friend just going down a bad route. Sometimes there isn't anything you can do. You can't drag them back. You can't talk them round. Painful as it is, sometimes we have to let them go and wait. And wait patiently until they turn back. And then without judgment, we welcome them with open arms. Just as the star was waiting for the wise men, Jesus is waiting for everyone. And then the wise men, as they follow the star, they finally arrive at Jesus' birthplace. And despite being outsiders, despite being from a foreign land, they're welcomed in. See, they recognize Jesus for who he is. A new king, a different king. It's strange that those travelers from outside recognized Jesus when others didn't. It's great to think that even there at his birth, it's clear that Jesus has come for everyone. Absolutely everyone. As long as people are prepared to follow him, they are welcome and included. It reminds us that the church is not built so much for those who are already part of it, but for those who are outside. It's built and designed to welcome all comers. Wherever they come from, whoever they are, whatever they've done, everyone who is searching is welcome. That simple message of inclusion is incredibly important today. Perhaps it's more important today than it has ever been. The world, countries, towns, dare I say, even churches, are becoming more inward looking, more insular. When people are starting to focus more on themselves than on others, hearts are hardening and minds are closing. When we are losing compassion for those who are different. That message of inclusion. At a time when even politicians and leaders feel free to question the validity of migrants. That message of inclusion, that all are welcome, is so important. It needs to be embraced and it needs to be shouted out. In Jesus, there are no boundaries. All are welcome. The wise men found Jesus in an unexpected place, and we need to learn to find Jesus in unexpected places. We need to be open to seeing Jesus stood alongside the poor, stood alongside the marginalized. When we see those people on television, we need to see Jesus stood alongside them. We must find Jesus in all the unexpected places. And these magi show us something else. When we find Jesus, just as they did, having found him in an unexpected place, they put aside their own ideas of position and status and bowed down and worshipped him. We must do the same. As we come before Jesus, we put aside our own ideas of position and status and we worship him and we offer him all we have. For us, unlike the Magi, who saw the baby, we, as people of faith, have seen the whole story. We know how the story ends. We know what Jesus was prepared to do for us. To give up his most precious possession, his life, for us. Knowing that, we must kneel before him and declare him Lord. Give him all we have. Because in that way, we become the beacon for others. We become the star for others. That they can see the light and find their own way back to Jesus. Those men who travelled a long way have a lot to teach us. And we should hold that story in our hearts long after Christmas is gone. Because if we do, we will be that star, we will be that light. Others will find their way. And that will be our gift. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you know in our hearts the journeys that we have been on, the routes that we have taken to find you. You know the joy in our hearts. You know the sorrow in our hearts. You walk with us. You hold us close. Open us up to be the light of the world, that others may share the journey that we are on and enjoy the love of knowing you as their Saviour. Amen. Let's sing again. It's 224. As with gladness, men of old.
As we with gladness, men of old.
We'll now take the offertory for God's work in his church here in Wimslow and throughout the world. Lord, we bring this offering to you. Take this offering. Take us to be your hands, your feet, your eyes, to bring your love to those around us in our community. Amen. We come with our prayers of intercession, our prayers for others, our prayers for the world. Let's pray. We picture Jesus, Mary and Joseph huddled in a drafty stable for shelter, and we pray for all those who are homeless. We think of the baby Jesus laid in a feeding trough for cattle. And we pray for all children born into poverty. May we see in every exiled mother and troubled face the face of Mary. In every refugee father, the careworn countenance of Joseph. And in every impoverished child, the helpless, vulnerable innocence of the baby Jesus. Lord, we come before you not to remind you of what we have done wrong to your world, but to hold those things in our hearts, to work for a better world. We pray for all areas of the world where there is conflict. We pray that hearts on all sides, that the hearts of those we trust and believe are friends, are opened. And we pray that the hearts and minds of those that we call enemies are opened. That each will see the other as a brother or sister. That each will hold out a hand of friendship. We pray this to you because we know we cannot do this on our own. We can only change the world when we hand over our lives to you. We pray for our own country, for those who are sleeping rough, for those who are suffering abuse, for those who are suffering violence. Give us the strength to walk with those people. We pray for our local community here in Wimslow, that your church here continues to be a beacon for those who are trying to find their way home. Continue to lighten our hearts. Continue to guide us. And we pray for your church here, for your servants here, for those of your servants who are unwell, that they will feel your healing touch, that they will feel you alongside them. Dear Lord, you gave us such a precious gift, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we say together now the prayer that your Son taught his disciples, a prayer that we have prayed throughout the ages. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We'll sing number 59. It's kind of an old classic now. Once it was new. But let's sing it. Lord, the light of your love is shining. As we go out into the world, we value Christ above all that the world thinks important. We go like the wise men who thought more of our Lord than of their power, riches and glory. We go in peace and humility to share God's love. Amen.